Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
The Christian life will never make sense. Giving will never make sense unless our eyes are fixed on Jesus, unless we remember the nails that went through his hands and through his feet and the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head. None of it makes sense. Coming to church, serving God, living for God, it seems like too much unless you focus on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Reaching Forth in Preparation.
Well, in our text today, we see the very last assembly of King David. And I want you just to let that settle into your mind for just a moment. David is elderly. He's standing probably on the porch of his home in Jerusalem, his palace. David has gathered all the leaders of Israel together. He is old and feeble. He has fought many battles. He has built much. He has been faithful to God. He has repented of sin. He's coming to the end of his life, faithfully serving the Lord. So I want you to capture that thought, his last assembly. Imagine if this was your last church service, if this was my last time to preach, coming to that last moment. And we find David at his last moment in ministry, reaching forth and thinking about the next generation. He was thinking about his sons and thinking about their sons and wanting the truth to always be in the central part of the hearts and the people of Israel. And so here is David, old and feeble, still reaching forth. And by the way, I thank God for men of years who still dream for God to do great things. That's what we see in David's life. You remember in the Old Testament, Joshua and Caleb, and how the 10 spies said, there's no way we can enter the land. And yet Caleb was a dreamer and a believer, even well up towards 100 years old. And Caleb said those famous words. He said, I want that mountain. He said, I believe God can bring us to Hebron. I believe God can give us the victory. I want that mountain. Lehman Strauss said, the last days of our life should be spent giving thought as to how much we can give, not how much we can keep. You find that spiritual men, as they grow older, they think thoughts like this. How can I invest more into my children to teach them the ways of God? How can I teach my grandchildren how precious the Bible is? How can I help the work of God to go on even past my time? I want to see the truth constantly preached in my city, in my country. And so in this chapter, David calls the leaders of Israel together. And we read about them in 1 Chronicles 26, 27, and 28. We read that there were 24 courses of priests. A course would be about 2,000. That means that he gathered round about him nearly 24,000 different priests that gathered with him on this day. There were the princes of the 12 tribes, and there were the captains of the king's companies, and there were David's counselors and David's mighty men. Notice, if you would, in chapter 27 and verse 32, also Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a wise man, and a scribe. And Jehiel, the son of Hakamoni, was of the king's sons, and Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. And Ahithophel was and after Ahithophel was Jehoiada, the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar, the general of the king's army, was Joab. In other words, David had some mighty men standing with him. And may I say today that every pastor in every Baptist church needs some mighty men who say, Pastor, if God is leading you to go forward and to reach forth, then we're going to stand with you as you go forth to do the work of God. And so here's David reaching forth. Here's some mighty men standing with him. David was desirous to build the temple for the Lord. And I think of David and those men, and we look in the scripture, and there they were. And here we are today, given an opportunity to make a difference in our generation. 2 Samuel 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about him from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. Here's a man who's thinking in terms of what was happening in his life, and he says, See now, I live in a house of cedar. Cedar was the sign of a well-built house. It was the sign of a house of wealth. In other words, he's saying, I'm taken care of, but the ark of the covenant of God, rests in curtains. Last week we learned about the tabernacle and how it was surrounded by curtains. And tonight we'll learn more about the significance of the tabernacle. But what David was saying was, my house is better and the safekeeping for me is nicer than for God's house and for the Ark of the Covenant of God. Here was a man who wasn't merely thinking about his career, his legacy, or his things, but he was thinking and putting his affection onto the house of God and onto the things of God. That gives us a little bit of an idea of what David's heart was really like. And so here was a man who wanted to make a difference with respect to the future of his nation. Now this morning as we sit here as a church desiring to make a difference in Lancaster, and yes, if God would let us in LA County and in the state of California, we must recognize something this morning, and we must learn from David's life some very important principles about how to build and how to prepare as we reach forth. And so there's going to be three ingredients that we'll need, three ingredients that we must have if we'll make a difference, and I want you to see them very quickly with me this morning. First of all, servants are needed. Servants are needed. There will need to be some people with a heart like the heart of David and Solomon. Now, the Bible tells us that these servants were chosen for this purpose. They were chosen servants. The Bible says in verse number 2, David the king stood up upon his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all of the house of my father to be king over Judah, verse 5, and all of my sons he hath chosen Solomon. Here we see two chosen servants, David and Solomon. He said, I had this in my heart. Now, within his heart was this desire. And this is where something being built for God begins. This is where a church work begins, a missions work begins, in the heart of men and women who are stirred by God. The word heart means the inner man. It denotes the whole soul of man, all the faculties of man. And the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Put your whole self into it. And so David was a man with the heart of a servant. He was a man that was a chosen servant. He had a pure heart, and David had a passionate heart, even going back to when he was a shepherd boy. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 13, 14, the Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And so here is a man with the heart of a servant. Here is a man that was a submissive servant. You see, he wanted to build the temple, but God said, you're not going to do the actual construction. You're going to get everything ready. Solomon's going to build the temple. You've been a man of war. I want Solomon to build the temple. And so he submitted to God's will for his life. Here we see some chosen men. And we see also that they were a chosen kingdom. The Bible says in verse 4, the Lord God of Israel chose men. me. And notice also, the Bible says in verse number 5, and of all of my sons, he chose Solomon to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And so here we see that God has promised to preserve Israel. God has promised that he will bless Israel. And we sometimes refer to that as the Davidic covenant. And I put it in your notes, the passage of scripture which says in 2 Samuel 7, but my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. God said, David, your throne will be established forever. And by the way, Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus was from the house and lineage of David, and the Bible says that of his kingdom there shall be no end. And by the way, that's why America is always wise to stand with Israel as an ally, because God says, I'll bless those that bless Israel, I'll curse those that curse Israel. And when you go to your ballot box and when you vote, I really believe one of the things you think about is, where does this candidate stand with respect to Israel? Because God says, I have chosen David to be my servant. I have chosen Israel to be the apple of my eye. He chose David to be king over Israel, and then his son Solomon to succeed him. And so God prepared Solomon. Notice in verse 8 what the Bible says. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, speaking to Solomon, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance, notice this, for your children after you. So God's chosen servants are to be thinking about the children, the people that are coming after us. It is the burden of the heart of servants to prepare for the next generation, to have a vision beyond our legacy, but to think of those that are coming after us. And so Solomon was commanded also to prepare. Solomon was told in verse 9, if you seek God, he will be found of you. But notice it also says in verse 9, Solomon, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart. And so servants are needed. And God chose David, and God chose Solomon, and God chose Israel. And my friends, today I believe that he has chosen us. I believe that he has given to us a burden and a heart for the next generation and a heart for our city, our county, and our state, and that God wants us with a perfect heart to serve him in this day and to make a difference in this generation. I remember coming, and I remember those early days back when I had hair. Look at all that hair. Christine was born right after we came. On the right is a picture of me. When we bought this property, there wasn't a water line, there wasn't a power line, there wasn't anything but dust blowing around. And yet we had in our heart a desire. We had in our heart a belief that God had called us to Lancaster, California, that God had chosen this church to be a place of blessing to this community, and that God wanted us to bless families and children through the preaching of his word. Servants were needed then, and servants are needed now. But what a joy that we can gather new and old together in doing God's work. But servants are needed. David and Solomon gathered the leaders together, and David said, let's all join together to do this work. Notice, first of all, servants are needed. Notice, secondly, supplies are required. Supplies are required. There comes a point in time when God will move from the heart of the leader to develop a strategic plan, or to develop a drawing, if you will, to develop a direction for the future. Now, supplies are required. Notice, first of all, the drawings that were required. The Bible says in verse number 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that had he had by the Spirit, the courts of the house of the Lord, etc. In other words, David is giving to Solomon the design for various parts of the temple. He's giving him the design for each area. The dimensions are given in verses 11 through 12 of the temple. It was 45 feet tall. It was 90 feet long. It was 30 feet wide. The furniture was mentioned. The candlesticks were made of gold, and they were mentioned. And also the golden altar of incense was to be overlaid with gold. The tables of showbread with gold and silver. The ceilings and their interior walls are mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. They were made of silver. Of course, the brazen altar, 30 feet wide, 30 feet long. There was the brazen laver, 15 feet in diameter, sitting on a pedestal about 7.5 feet tall. And you can read through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you'll find the dimensions and the ingredients of this amazing building called the temple. And when you visit the Holy Land, you can still see some of the base rock laid by Solomon thousands of years ago for this amazing structure. This would be the center of worship for some 4 million people. This is where the law would be kept, and the scribes would copy the law. This is where blood would be sacrificed on the Day of Atonement for the atonement of the sins of all of Israel. And I want to tell you something, that even as God has called out a people who would be His servants, and even as God had chosen the nation of Israel, I believe with all of my heart today that the local church is God's plan, and that we have the privilege of entering into the work of God as a part of the local church. And so we see supplies are needed. You need to have drawings in place. And not only do you need to have the drawings and the list of the supplies for the table of showbread for the construction of the temple, but secondly, offerings are needed as well. Offerings are needed as well. Now, I want you to see this, if you would, in verse number 14. The Bible tells us about the offering of David, and it tells us this: He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver, also for instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for the lamps of gold, and for the weight of every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight. In other words, as this list of needs, as this list of drawings would tell, the supply list, they would say, we need this many pounds of gold for this table and this many pounds of gold for the mercy seat. Similar to the blueprints that we have that we're bringing through the city plan check, we have a list, not only the drawings, but a list of supplies. And David said, I want to bring forth an offering. I want to personally bring so that this project may be fulfilled. And David made preparations. And I want you to know that these were very personal. This was not something that he was simply depending upon others, but he was getting involved. It was the burden of his heart. Notice in chapter 29 in verse 2, he says it this way: Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Let's say that together. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. One more time. Now I have prepared with... This sermon is entitled, Reaching Forth in Preparation. David said, I had to prepare. No great work gets done for God unless people prepare, unless people are thinking in terms of how can I be a part. And David was preparing personally. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever you're going to do for Jesus, do it with all your might. Now, sometimes people get a little bit anxious when it comes to this matter of preparing and personally bringing an offering in order to fulfill a project. I heard of a guy the other day that went to his boss, and he said to his boss, he said, listen, boss, I need a raise. He said, you need to know there's some other companies that are after me if I don't get that raise. And his boss said, really? He said, what other companies are after you? He said, well, the gas company, the phone company, the electric company, they're all after me, you know? And there are some people like that, you know, they're so flooded with their own burdens, their own problems, they sometimes think, how can I, from my own proper good, be a great part in a project like this? And I want to show you in just a moment that with God, all things are possible. God can make a way, and God was making a way for the children of Israel. David understood this, that God was the owner of everything he had, and that he was the manager of it. This was God's gold and God's silver, and David's attitude was, God, what do you want from me? How can I help in this project? There's a church in Dallas, Texas called the First Baptist Church, and The pastor today is Pastor Robert Jeffress, but years ago, the pastor's name was George Truett back in the 40s. Believe it or not, that church grew to become a church of over 6,000 every Sunday with three staff members. It was an amazing story, one of the largest churches in the nation, a very organized Sunday school. And Dr. Truett was a wonderful soul-winning pastor. He often would say the greatest delight in life and the single greatest accomplishment in life is the bringing of one soul to Jesus Christ. Well, Dr. Truett one day was invited to lunch by one of the wealthy farmers of the church, and so he drove after church out of town a little ways, and they went out to this farm, and dinner was just about to be completed, and so the farmer said to the pastor, "Why don't we go up to the top of our house? I have a little tower up here, and I'll show you around a little bit of our ranch." And so they went up to the top, and the farmer said, "Pastor," he said, "now, if you look out here to the west," he said, "as far as you can see to the west, in all of these oil rigs and in all of these oil pumps, as far as you can see, I own that, as far as you can see. And," he said, "if you look out here to the east, as far as you can see, all the cattle, all this different land out here with the cows," he said, "I own that, as far as you can see." He said, "Pastor, if you look up here to the north, you see the oak trees and the pine trees and the wooded lands." He said, "We own that too. It's a part of our family estate, as far as you can see." And he said, "If you look down this way to the south, all of the wheat and the beans and the crops," he said, "We own that, as far as you can see." Pastor Truett looked at the man. He said, "That's wonderful, sir, but let me ask you this question. How much do you own in that direction?" You see, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on this earth where moths and rust doth corrupt, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven." Laying up treasures in heaven, that's what David was thinking about. He said, "Listen, Lord, it's all yours anyways, and I want to be personally involved." Ken Blanchard said, "The successful person has learned how to make money. The significant person has learned how to give it away." There is a great difference between success and significance. And David wanted his life to significantly make a difference for God. So he was personally involved. Notice he was affectionately involved. The Bible says in verse number 3, "I have set my affection to the house of my God." Where's your affection? I hope that your affection is for God, for Jesus Christ, his Son. That we have a great affection for the work of God. What if every Baptist in America fell in love with God and the church again? What if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind? What if we said, "More than anything, I want to see a strong church. I'd like to see a strong lighthouse in every city preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ." May I say this lovingly as I know how, that as long as our affection is for the Lakers and the Dodgers and this and for that, as long as our affection is out there in the things of this world, then the gospel of Jesus will never be preached to children like it should be preached. There must be a generation like David who say, "This is from my heart. This is something that I believe that I must be a part of. I'm affectionate towards it." Colossians 3 and 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of this earth. I heard of a mother that gave to her daughter for Sunday school offering $1 and a quarter. And she said, "You put one of those in the offering plate and you keep the other." And so after church, she asked her daughter, she said, "Now, I noticed that you gave the quarter instead of the dollar." And her daughter said, "Well, Mom, you said God loves a cheerful giver. I decided keeping the dollar would make me very cheerful." I think she missed the point of that. David gave personally. David gave affectionately. David gave abundantly. The Bible says in verse 3, from his proper good. That means his valued treasures. And the Bible says in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give."
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.